All right, welcome everybody. We're going to call the meeting to order, and then first order of business tonight is going to be electing the officers. So did you want to go through that for Randy to let him know how it's going to work? Or?
No, you can.
All right, so Randy's going to vote via phone, or he's going to put his name through here for me on my phone, and then we'll put his vote in that way. So if you guys want to mark off on your sheet there who for chair. And Sandra will come around and get them in the box. All right, so we have two names for chair. We have Brian Kaiser and Steve Patterson. So if you guys want to both leave your names in, then we'll have a vote.
I decline.
You decline. All right, so that.
Thank you.
Brian, you're a chair.
All
right,
thank you.
Right?
Maybe you'll do something.
I got to pass out more of these.
I'm
going to pass those down,
Michelle.
Oops. Now we're going to vote for vice chair. I guess, Brian, you'll do that, right? All right, we have five names. We have Michelle Greek. We have Randy. We have Tom Lockwood. We have Steve Patterson and Dean Smicer. If you want your names to stand, and we go through the vote. Steve declines. That leaves us with four.
Okay, can you just repeat that four rounds?
We'll just repeat the four.
On decline.
And Michelle, or Councillor Greek declines.
And I would decline as well, Chris.
That means we have
who is that?
No.
Two. It's Randy.
Okay. I didn't even see you there. I was looking around the room. The virtual stuff. All right.
Okay, so Randy, Dean or Tom?
Dean or Tom.
Yep.
All right, so the votes are in, and Dean Smicer is voted as vice chair. Can we have a? Do you want to make a motion, Mr. Chair, to destroy
yes,
these?
Motion to destroy.
All right. Randy, you can hear me? You can't hear him,
yes,
though.
I can. Every now and then I can.
All right. Every now and then it'll be all right.
Just say important things.
Yes. Okay, so it's moved and seconded to destroy the ballots. Any questions?
Question
been called. Hearing none, all in favor. Raise the right hand. Against, motion carried. Looking for a motion to approve the agenda as circulated? Been moved. Seconded by Councillor Bell.
Question's
been called. All those in favor, raise the right hand. Against, motion carried. Looking for approval of the minutes of the March 14th, 2022 meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. You got that, Sandra?
I think that was Tom first, was it?
No.
And then
he's
Tom.
Too old.
And then Dean.
Okay.
All right. So it's been moved and seconded.
Did you get a question on that side, though?
Moved and seconded, yes.
I did notice, I was waiting for Martin to say it, CVFSA, the very last of the minutes. It's CB in the draft minutes. And we discussed the CVFSA possibly having connection for the smoke alarms.
Oh, yeah.
CB, Canadian Volunteer Fire Service Association.
So, the mover and seconder agree to amend the motion to reflect that change? So noted, okay. Any questions on that? In hearing none, all those in favor signify by raising the right hand. Against, motion carried. Business arising from the minutes. 5.1 is options for reduction in insurance premiums. So, Chris, back, I guess.
The last time we really had anything discussion on this was with Ed Nix at that meeting.
When he was here, yes.
And really haven't done anything with it since that time. You and I discussed it a little
bit.
We
have, yes.
And I did discuss it with the chair of Lunenburg Regional just to see his thoughts on it, too. And I'm not really sure where we're going to end up going with that right now, but...
Yeah.
I don't think it's as easy as we think. There's going to be a lot of moving parts and stuff like that to it. So,
and even self-insurance and some form of that on the you know, that whatever the deductible would be, I think is managing even something like that. And, you know, the turmoil in the world today, you know, insurance is just, I think, it's gonna, like anything else, up and down and all around. And, you know, unless we can see something that is a significant change in the policy that we don't want to insure or something, I just can't see, you know, too many options that are available to the group for that. Any points from others? I'm just not sure, you know, the other side of that is that maybe what we can do is we could have a discussion with him again prior to the next renewal, just to get some feelings from him as to where things are looking in the market at that point, so that we're not kind of shocked when the bills get out. I would think that maybe having some discussions with him in advance.
And that'll be in October again.
Yeah, so catch him.
Prior to that, we can maybe.
Yes.
Because I usually send something out in September to them.
Yeah.
Asking for the premiums and stuff like that, so that'd probably be a good time to
just to see ask. If there is something that.
Because like you say, it's insurance today is like up and down, like everything else.
And the weather and the effects of claims, and it's just, so I would do that at least. And then, you know, it can come back to a meeting because we'll know at that point what the story will be. All right, so 5.2 is fire scene security. Long time on our agenda, but there's documents attached, pages 2-6. And Chris, do you want to actually speak to that?
So this is the policy that our council passed at their last meeting, which is nice to see. And they've been very supportive all the way along through most things the Fire Service Committee asked of them. So we're very fortunate for that. This just kind of goes down through basically giving council's approval to go to the step of having this done and having the ability to do what's the word I'm looking for here? I just lost my mind.
It's an age thing.
To be able to put liens and stuff on properties if needed. So, you know, that's just the process is in place now. The procedure's been written. So April and I have to sit down and go through that with her. And once that's done, we should be able to roll it out to fire departments, as mentioned in here. So I think it's a good step forward, and I think it's something that we've never had since I've been in the fire service, and I know it's better than trying to have volunteer firefighters do that. So it's definitely a plus and a benefit for sure.
There certainly is. So the other part of this that Chris and I have talked briefly about was the taking it to the next level, which is probably explaining it to the Lunenburg Regional Group, so that, you know, running through the actual document with them, making it clearly understood, and then maybe even potentially have a training session on it just to, you know, make sure that people understand how it works when something happens, who you got to call, how that process actually works. And
I want to sit down with Bruce Blackwood and Chester because they've actually utilized this. A lot of this came from what they did,
yes,
sort of reinventing the wheel. So I'm going to sit down with him, too, and go over the process because they've used it a couple of times.
Oh, have they?
On
okay.
different calls. So anyway, he said that that's something we should do, too. And then they've got, like, wallet cards or whatever, your truck cards. You can stick in the trucks also with that number to call the commissioners if you need security.
Okay.
Posted.
Very good.
So the process is there once we
get
it.
Yeah, people need to know about it. And you know, a way of doing that is LRFES and then, you know, even further if you have to do
it. Once the procedure's in place, then that'll be something that they can actually follow, right?
Right. So. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Any questions on that? Anybody have any questions? Okay. Mutual aid agreement. I know that it was at the annual meeting and more signatures were picked up at that particular point. And anything you want to note
so
on that?
So just
Chris?
An update on that. One of the towns had a question on the way it was worded in as far as the Towns Act or whatever goes. So our solicitor is looking at that just to make sure because he kind of painted it with a broader paintbrush. And that's what it's really intended to do is just allow us to maneuver within each other's borders and things, and everybody's protected by doing it that way. So he's just going to go back and just verify that part of it. And one of the chiefs at the AGM had a question on when a fire scene starts and stops. I think the verbiage in the agreement was at the time of arrival on the scene of the emergency, and he would like to see it said that from the time the pager sets the emergency in motion for mutual aid until they get back to their stations. I don't think it's a really big difference for what they were doing, but he's going to just review that also. So there'd be two minor little things if there are anything to change.
Yeah.
So he'll get back to us with that.
Yes.
If there are changes, will it require all departments to sign that again, or will the signatures that you've collected be
so
standing?
With those minor changes, it's not really changing anything in the actual structure. It's just more of a, I guess, housekeeping type thing just to put it back in order.
Yeah, and the other thing that you could do with that, though, potentially, is once you have the changes, actually send them out to everybody and say, these changes have been made. Do you still agree with it? And have them at least respond to the fact that, you know.
Yeah, that'd probably be a good way to.
Yeah, to, you know, in case someone says, well, I didn't really sign up for that or I didn't sign for that. So it might make it. Yes, Dean.
Just for the sake of when you were just saying there, but when you get on scene, if you're, that's when the call starts or when the pager goes off, would that also have an effect with the insurance issue? So if you get in an accident or something going through the hall, then you're covered. If you're not, if you're only covered when you get on scene, is it only when the mutual aid call is going to be an insurance issue?
No, the Motor Vehicle Act states from the time of notification to the time of response back to your hall is when they consider.
Just clarifying that. That's all.
But that's why it was like worded that way. So
okay.
Nope. Perfect. All right. Any other questions? Anyone? All right. So you got a few more signatures left though to get, do you?
No.
Nope. Got
all the signatures are there now, except the one town had questioned it. So we're just waiting for the solicitor to redo that part.
Well, good. Okay, 5.4, air pack certification, turnout gear safety. It's something that I know we haven't really discussed at Lunenburg Regional at any depth. And I think maybe what this group could do is maybe, you know, through you, Chris, and comments from others, is create some notes about the things about what, you know, air pack certification, you know, how that basically could work so that we could get something on paper so that we could start talking about it as a group and then have something maybe to take Lunenburg Regional. I think policy development, it's kind of starts here, and we've had this on the agenda, but we really haven't, you know, I just think we need something on paper so that we can all in this group here start talking about it. And, you know, I know that other people will have comments about, you know, the impact of it on a fire department that may not have certain things or be doing certain things, like pump testing. There were always concerns about things. So I just think we should, through you and the rest of us, create a document that we can start looking at this committee at the next meeting or thereafter.
So your thoughts are to take it to Lunenburg Regional for a discussion first and then see what the...
Well, I'd like to have something on paper so that we could actually take to them and talk about it. Or, you know, when we get to Lunenburg Regional, it's
it's better if we've got something written down that you can actually hand out, I think, to people. Comments, you know, may not get picked up and understood.
Because the pump testing initiative really came from Lunenburg Regional's fire services side, not from my side.
That's correct.
So I don't want to come across that this is my side or our side saying that that's going to be mandatory to have air packs.
Well, I still think that, that pump testing, they think, is you know, here.
Yeah.
It came from. And there's always comments and concerns.
In the end, it did.
Policy, when you do policy, though, you have that
yeah.
they people look at that in a perspective. And, you know, our role as representing the fire service on this committee with the rest of the people here is to, you know, lead in some way. And I, you know, we don't have all the answers, but I think that, you know, if we can get something on paper, I think that if you pass something out at that meeting and they can look at it, they can make their comments on it, and someone can get that documented, and then we can move on. And I understand what you're saying, mm-hmm. who it's coming from and where it's coming from. And it's coming from FESC. It can come from the representatives of the fire service that are here. That can be that way. We just need your resources to get things kind of sometimes get it put together and draft it.
Well, if that's what the committee's wish is, I can work on something.
That's, yeah. Yes, Dean.
I was going to just say maybe if we had a workshop or something, and we could have an evening and just kind of beat something out and help Chris come to it.
Yeah.
Well, just, I mean, like, just a suggestion.
Yeah, the majority of departments, like a couple of years ago we started that, who was doing flow checks and who had bunker gear, what the ages were and stuff. So we did that kind of gathering of stuff and compiled for everybody. So, you know, the departments are doing the flow checks and stuff on their breathing apparatus and their maintenance on those. And most departments have some kind of a plan in place for bunker gear for 10 years of age and stuff like that. Some don't. Some don't have the cleaning schedules in place to get it cleaned annually and inspect it. And I'm not sure how many of them actually get a wash and stuff like that when they need it. But as far as those, I would say that the PPE side of the bunker gear is probably the most work is needed in, maybe.
Yeah,
and then breathing apparatus, I think people are understanding over the years the importance of having that certified and checked to make sure that it's functional the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, because this leads to policy and then enforcement of it within the policy, right, which is where this ultimately is going for the health and safety of the firefighters.
I mean, that it really should be done, that's for sure.
Yes. So either through a workshop or, you know, or just simply each of us contribute to a draft of notes of sort.
If you around the table want to send me some emails on thoughts and whatever, I can put something together on like an outline for the next meeting. It won't be like a policy shape or anything, but some of the concerns and stuff for the next meeting, and then
yeah.
it'll start the discussion on it maybe.
So maybe you can send all of us an email to remind us to actually do that. And
I can,
and we'll get started. I think it just starts something, and then from that you can get policy going, right? So, because this was one of the things that was on from the workshop that we did before, actually. So
it's been on there for quite a few years.
Yes, and it's time to kind of get it, you know, on the move. Yes.
What concern was it that it originally came on the agenda?
Health and safety. It came on from us, actually,
from
a workshop.
Okay. And then has it been brought up to Lunenburg Regional at all? Or
other than the fact that we're talking about air pack certification and turnout gear safety. That's all.
Okay.
You know, and as Chris has indicated, though, he's had some discussions and asking questions because it wasn't on the application for registration. And, you know, so ultimately that's where this is going to be with a process that they follow to look after the turnout gear and the replacement of turnout gear, who can wear something depending on the type of fire that it is and so on. So, you know.
Is there anything in the insurance policy that goes along with PPE and turnout gear and for firefighters?
Only covered for insurance, you know, equipment.
There's
as
no
equipment.
Standard from insurance perspective?
No, and I've asked that question to WCB with concerns that fire services have asked me, like, different questions on, you know, responding to calls without proper PPE on or whatever, MVCs or whatever, right? And workers' compensation is a no-fault insurance. So it doesn't matter. You're going to get covered from WCB is what I was told when I checked with them. That's not saying that we still shouldn't be doing our due diligence and making sure that our firefighters are protected to the best of their abilities, right?
Okay. All right. Thank you for filling in a couple of
It's kind of like the pump testing thing. I mean, that's not – it's not there for us. It's not there. It's there to ensure that when that vehicle gets to the site that the pump is going to be working under normal circumstances, right? I mean, yes, a pump can fail a day after it's been tested, but the probability of that's quite low. And
you know, like hose testing is another one, right? Like for years, very few departments had done hose testing on an annual or semi-annual or twice, you know, every 2 years or whatever. And in the last year or two, more departments have done it. There's still quite a few that do not do it. But that's another important factor too, right? Because you have your PPE all done. All, you know, people are doing their work on those to make sure they're mechanically functioning the way they're supposed to and meet all the specs. Pumps are now being inspected and maintained to make sure that they meet the flow rates that they're supposed to rate for the rating that they have. And then we're taking firefighters and putting them on hose lines, put them in a building, and we're not sure if the hose line is going to break or rupture or not. So,
you know what's coming up next, right? Yeah. Right? Fact. Yeah. Fact is fact. So,
just a point of interest.
Right.
Thank you.
All right. Any other comments? Okay, we'll then move on to... So you're going to do an email, right, Chris? A reminder to us.
I have a reminder for me to remind
us. All right. A reminder to remind us.
So all we're going to be talking about this time is air pack certification. We're not doing nothing with the turno gear this time?
Right? No, I think both things.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
I know bunker gear took an awful jump in price.
Yes.
So
the breathing apparatus.
Yeah. Right, I just ordered a set of bunker gear. It's like $3,500, almost $3,600.
Yeah. Well, everything, the prices of stuff is just...
Depends on where you go.
Okay.
Some places it's 26 weeks, some it's 12 weeks.
And it depends on the spec of what the gear is, too. Like, there's a couple of different costings in there, but that's kind of the average now. It's $3,000 to $3,500.
And I was told it's probably going to go up once or twice more this year.
Yeah, SCBA's gone up 30% roughly, so, you know, from 9 to 13.5 or 14.5 or whatever you want to look at.
Oh, it's just crazy.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that at our recent NSFM meeting, we had a presenter on Thinking Canoe.
It's Canoe, and the gentleman's name is Tim Elms.
Tim Elms, and it was about municipalities joining. Do you have it there?
Well, I have a little bit.
Well, municipalities joining a buying, more of a buying group, I guess, is what it was. But they talked about fire trucks and they talked about PPE and different things from this end. And I guess seeing was believing, and we do have fire departments in Nova Scotia that has become involved and $50,000 on a truck?
I can't remember the exact was
the
amount.
Savings for the exact same thing.
And quicker delivery.
What's taking people a year, year and a half was... like 6-7 months.
Mm-hmm. So is that like a provincial procurement type thing, or
this is more national?
I know Town of Truro.
There was some other ones on there, but
so it's like a national standard for a truck.
A lot in Ontario and so on, but a lot of the Martin, you had stated, did you not, that they were American built?
Some of them were American built fire engines, but what they were doing, I think. Use the example of Toronto ordering 17 trucks. So let's say that Dayspring wanted to be truck 18. They went on the pricing with the 17 trucks. As long as they're happy with the
standards. That have been
well,
set.
It would be Canadian NFPA standards.
Yes.
But some of the companies were not traditionally... fire trucks out of Fort Garry or something. They might have been American units like E1.
Yes.
That was the example they was using.
Right.
But
it was everything from, I guess, pump stations for and piping and everything to fire trucks, to you name it. Fire trucks or fire service was a piece of it.
Was a part of it.
But it was much bigger than that for municipalities overall. But there was definitely cost savings. It's something that I'd like to have a presentation made back to our council so we can ask more questions and get the information.
Yeah, sounds interesting. So, yeah,
Chris,
you know.
Chris, I can send you his email if you want it to get more information.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, thank you.
Because Dean,
yeah,
we're
in there. And CANOE is a nonprofit organization.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
So Dean, though, I mean, this article came from you, but it's more of the funding of it, isn't it, than of the buying of it, or is it both?
It could be both.
Yeah, but it started with the funding of it.
Started with the funding part of it, but I mean, if you can get on with this CANOE and do it that way, and you can save money.
Have a low
it's
interest,
what it's all about.
Like, low interest loan from the municipality is what.
Yeah, that's what I started out as.
Yeah. 0%, Dean.
Now we're talking.
I wish we could borrow from that.
Yeah. But that's where it started, I think, Dean. I just wanted to make sure that it can be both things, but certainly there was a look. We talked about how to fund,
What started on it, Brian, is that we're looking for a new truck in the next couple of years, and
yes.
We figured it out that just the amount of interest on a loan was going to be almost $250,000 over the time that we paid this truck off, and that's why we're just trying to find somewhere that we can get a cheaper rate. That's the big thing.
That is
a $250,000 of taxpayers' money that we're trying to save.
Yeah. And we talked about the Municipal Finance Corp and then some there.
Whatever we can do to make it.
How we can move forward with it, though. This has been on a number of months as well,
yes,
right? And
but I knew, Brian, this is not something that was going to happen overnight.
No, but we need to do something about it, or it's either going to be just left on the continuing agenda to a point in time that we actually start doing some work. No,
yeah.
Either start doing some work with it or let it slide by and go off the list. So, and I'm not sure that I can lead in how we can get something like low interest financing. I don't know how we would work that. Who we would work that with? If it's with the municipality, I mean, there was things years and years ago different, but it was different from this. Yes, Chris. Yeah.
The municipality still has the $100,000 loan guarantee, but they're only able to do five of those, like the five different entities at one time for $100,000 each, up to $500,000, right? So that's, plus there's quite a bit of paperwork and stuff involved. So that's not really giving you a cheaper rate, per se.
No, it's a loan guarantee.
Some banking institutions require some kind of a guarantee in order to get the money right.
Yeah.
That's happened a couple of times, but not too often in the past that I can remember. You know, and to touch on what Councillor Bell said there, you know, you talk about these trucks that are coming out as a standard pack. It's like you got a standard pumper, you got a standard tanker. New Brunswick does it. Newfoundland's doing it. Ontario does it in a lot of places now. But that's what you get when you order a truck. You're not going to get, you know, just
no personalization.
You know, like this isn't going to have $150,000 of extra chrome wheels in that one.
No.
You know, so it's a basic truck that does a basic need.
Yes.
And really, you know, that's what's required.
Basically, what they call them is just a cookie cutter truck.
Yeah, I mean, and that's how they're kind of gearing them up, right? So,
but it is taxpayers' money.
But it's
in
a different,
some
yeah.
instances, not all. Don't misread that because
it's a different setup.
Certainly,
right?
There are a lot of contributions that are done by fundraising
absolutely.
In the fire service.
Oh, sure,
but,
there are.
But for those that are not fundraising and buying a truck, then these kind of options are viable in saving money because you're getting a basic truck to do the job, but it doesn't have the frills.
Yeah, that's right. Now, like in some places, they'll allow you to add some extras to it if each individual entity is willing to, you know, pay the extra money for it. But most of the times, they like to build them as a standard, right?
Yeah.
And that has some real benefits, too, because if I go to Indian Point or I go to Day Spring or I go to Bridgewater or I go to Conquerall Bank and they all have the same kind of trucks, anybody can operate them.
Yeah.
You know, so there are some really big benefits to some of that stuff also, but we're getting there slowly.
I just think that it's easy to go there when it's not the trucks aren't bought by fundraising, you know, because a lot of money goes into fundraising against trucks, and then there's that personal touch applied to that. There's things that the fire department like that is unique to them maybe or whatever,
And that's very true, and there's a lot of pride and stuff too, right?
There is, you know, so that you have to kind of make sure that that's not hurt. So, anyway, it's on the agenda. Dean will. Oh,
not an issue.
Councilor Bell?
I want to interrupt the
talk. It's okay.
Where you see New Brunswick and Newfoundland buying these regional government packages for fire trucks, would it be any advantage to get the specifications for those packages and have either this service or Lunenburg Regional look at the package? I hate to call it a cookie cutter, but...
But it is, but that's fine.
Let's say it is a basic truck. And then if we had a unit like that priced through a vision where maybe two or three trucks in the municipality would be purchased in a given year, and let's understand there are some departments that would be the type of purchase that could appeal to them,
right,
that it might be an advantage for us to consider it. We may want to have an option in that if someone wants this type of truck, the fire department does have the option to change maybe the type of wheels on it or the type of warning equipment. It's a basic cookie cutter truck, but
it meets all the code requirements.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think that is a stumbling block for many smaller departments. We're trying to purchase a truck to code, to weight restrictions, to everything else, that maybe this group, working with Lunenburg Regional, could come up with a number of units, whether it be a tanker unit, whether it be a pumper, a combination of both, and then make these available at a given price on a certain given year, over a three-year period, whatever. But if you can save $50,000 or $100,000, that represents a lot of money to some departments.
It does.
So I think it's something that would be worthwhile for us to pursue. Just my idea.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. So it's no fee, is it, to join it? Is there how do you join this group?
Are you speaking of the
procurement? Canoe, yeah. How do you join it?
Actually, I really don't know.
It is not for profit, but we can get all that information.
Okay.
And if it's something that you would like to
have a demonstration or
a presentation.
Councilor Bell's making a really good point on it. I think that only until you actually can see what kind of vehicle it would be that they are,
and the
prices of them and so on and so forth, you know, so we need to investigate it, I think.
Yeah, but like I said, I think it's something that I'm going to get a presentation for the council.
Okay.
Because I think that the broader buying power is in a lot more things than just fire trucks.
Yeah, this is just one part of
this. This is just one part, one of the things that they did emphasize that they were doing.
Schools.
Yeah, it was schools, it was hospitals, it was everything.
Right.
But there was a lot of different.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a good idea to you know, we've got the opportunity to look at some options and make those available, so.
Does say no minimum purchasing requirements and no binding contracts, but there's nothing about a fee that, I mean, I can go deeper here, but so.
Okay. All right, good, thank you. Yes?
Chris, would that be something that you could work with the mayor possibly in tandem in a presentation fire related was brought to us on this committee?
Yeah.
And or Lunenburg Regional, as Councillor Bell has said.
I'm thinking that we could look into that, and then if we get
the contact
information from whoever the contact is, we could ask, you know, what side of the fire thing would work in conjunction with the presentation if the mayor's asking to do to council. So, I mean, it all goes hand in hand, right? So
yeah, possibly,
anchor,
you know, if they're coming from a distance,
yeah.
we could nail both at the same time.
Yeah.
Perfect, thanks.
All good. Any other questions on 5.5? So it'll continue on the agenda, Dean. We'll just, I say you, Dean, because it came from Dayspring, but it'll be on there. And when this stuff gets investigated, we'll bring that information back to this committee as well.
not an issue. I knew it was going to be a long process.
All right.
So.
Okay. Item number six, the Lunenburg Regional Report. I'm just going to give a little bit of a verbal one. Most of our time was spent at the last meeting, was looking at the incorporation and the membership and a kind of a complete overhaul of the purpose of the committee and determining membership. Should there be a fee for membership? There is now. Just looking at kind of over time, the executive will be looking at it and making recommendations to the body of that group, the current body, which is obviously fire services, all the fire departments in the municipality of Lunenburg, and we got Bridgewater, Lunenburg, and Mahone Bay as well. So that was basically most of what took place at the meeting, actually. So any other comments?
Just that next week is the annual meeting at Lunenburg Regional.
Yes.
With the new executive brought forward.
Okay. Questions? In hearing none. Number seven, new business, none. In camera, if required. And our next meeting is July the 11th. July. Pardon me?
Don't say July yet. You're
on no.
And that's quick. Yep.
And it'll...
It'll
yes, that's the problem. Okay. Looking then for a motion to adjourn. Look, two of them up.
I beat you.
No, I
have mine on.
Yeah, but I'm too late.